Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
All right. Once or twice a year, right? Thank you, honey. Romans chapter 12. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 12 again. Talk about same struggle. Same struggle. We all struggle in certain things. We all have the same struggles in certain areas. The biggest lie of the enemy is that you're the only one going through what you're going through. The same struggle. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We believe Paul wrote the book of Romans. It's consistent with his writings. Says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. A few weeks ago, we talked about patterns and how that you can't pray away patterns. You've got to renew your mind. And when we change our patterns, we can change our lives. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How many know that the movie Transformers, is that a movie, right? Anybody watch those things? Like, Brandon's like, yeah. Transformers. Well, God wants to put your movie, put your life in a movie and call it Transformed. Somebody say, I'm transformed. How do we do that? How do we become transformed? By the renewing of our mind, our thinking, our emotions, our will. Renewing those things. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We talked about asking God to help you to see the patterns that are negative in your life that are leading you down a path of destruction. But then there's also good patterns, good healthy patterns of good, healthy eating patterns, exercise patterns, reading your Bible patterns, getting up and forming good habits that will lead you to success. Studying the subjects you need to study in order to enhance your intelligence, in order to increase your capacity to be a leader, to run a business, to run a ministry, to run a church. Those good, healthy patterns will lead you down the paths of success in your life. I want to say a couple things to certain groups of people. I'd love to say this to new church planters. I also want to say this to addicts. I want to say this to people who are believing God for relationship restoration. I want to say this to parents who have lost the trust of their kids. I even want to say this to those who have gotten themselves into debt. What I want to say this morning is this. Are you ready? In order to get free from these things, in order to have victory in these things, it may take a while. Are you there this morning? It's going to take a while. Let's continue to read. Let's read John chapter 15. So we did Romans 12. Let's go to John chapter 15. Another major portion of scripture that we're studying in the past few weeks. This may take a while. John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, has anybody been reading John 15, trying to read it every day? I've continued to read it. Sabila and I are reading it together. We've been reading it out loud. And it is so true. When you read something over and over again, you get new light and new revelation, things you haven't seen before. God speaks to you in different ways. The Word of God is so rich and so personal, He personalizes it to you. As you begin to read it and God speaks to you about certain words and emphasizes certain things. Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off. Yeah. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Bam. No fruit. Cut it down. Cut it off. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that would even be more fruitful. Now, this thing, look at, I got this for $2 at a yard sale. Still has a sticker on it. Now, these things help to cut your bushes out front, right? These are bush shears. So this is not going to do real well as far as pruning your apple tree or, you know, we have this overgrown kiwi vine in our backyard that grows like a weed. And we've got all kinds of plants back there because my wife loves plants. And we have an apple tree and we have an Asian pear tree and we have a fig tree that produces like 1,000 figs. If you're a bird lover, just come in the fall. We'll show you thousands of birds. My dog chases them away every day, you know, trying to eat our figs. Get off of our fig tree. So you've got to go after the wintertime. You've got to go and clean things up because things have become overgrown. They've become dead. If you want the pear tree, if you want your trees to produce, you've got to prune them in a certain way. You've got to take care of them. We want to have good pears. We want to have good apples. We want them to produce because fresh is great. Organic is the craze, right? Organic is great. It's healthy and it's fun just to go outside and just to pick dessert. You know, strawberry. How many like strawberries? We go to the farmer's market almost every Saturday. I had the best strawberries I have ever tasted. I mean, I was like, are these strawberries? Because if you buy strawberries at the grocery store and taste them, they're like, ugh. All it is like a red ball that has texture. And I tasted one of these strawberries. They were little tiny ones. And I put it in my mouth. I was like, sugar. Oh, my gosh. That is the sweetest thing. Immediately, I got my money out and I like bought those. And they barely ever make it home. But this is what I'm using to prune, all right? The big sucker. Yeah. Boom. Cut those branches off. Do some good pruning with this. So it says here that while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No Christian can grow isolated apart from the body, which is the church. Can't grow. You'll go so far. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Somebody out there say fruitful. We all want to be fruitful, right? We all want to bear good fruit. The same sensation that happens to the branch that does not bear fruit also happens to the branch that does bear fruit. It's called painful pruning. Painful pruning. Now, have you guys ever gone to like a 3-day conference? When City Bible Church used to hold their adult conferences, they do them anymore. You know, I would go there and after 3 days, I'd be messed up. I was like, I thought I came here to get encouraged, you know, but God is just pruning and dealing and talking and encouraging you to change, go to the next level. And you take inventory of your life. And it's like after about 3 sessions, you're like, I don't think I can take anymore. You know, I'm not going tonight. I already got enough to deal with, God. You know, I just need some encouragement. I came in. Can't somebody just prophesy over me? Because prophecy is encouragement and, you know, edification, building me up. God, I just need a prophetic word. That's what I need. That's what I came here for. And God's, every class, God is like, snip, snip. Okay, pastor, you want to grow? Snip, snip, you know. And you're just feeling uncomfortable, you know. And all the other people from the church are like, this is a great conference. And I'm like, it's so awesome, yeah. Just love this conference. You get by yourself, you're like, ugh. Pruning. God dealing with me. Painful. Snip, snip. Now, Jesus makes a distinction between fruitfulness and faithfulness. fruitfulness and faithfulness, see, the two are inseparable. When things in your life have flatlined spiritually, it gets frustrating. We get to the point where perhaps we think we know it all. Been there, heard that sermon before. You know, when we flatline, a lot of times we make excuses. Well, I'm just not getting fed there anymore. So a lot of people will leave a church and find another church, which most of them don't do. They'll leave a church because I'm not getting fed there anymore, when in all reality is they're so prideful they can't get fed because you can't get through to them because they think they know everything, right? Been there, done that. And they're not willing to come and say, okay, Lord, prune me. Deal with me. I know there's things in my life that I got to deal with. The great thing about what God does, he's not going to prune the whole tree at once. Amen? You're going to cut off a couple things here and there. And, you know, because if you go in and if you really just decimate that pear tree and do the wrong thing, it's not going to produce any fruit. There's a strategic plan as far as pruning is concerned, whether it be grapes to make wine or whether, you know, the vines of strawberries. There's a certain pruning process that has to take place in order to do it correctly to produce the most fruit, to make it fruitful. But if the farmer doesn't faithfully prune the vine or the tree and misses a year, it will not produce as much the following year if it's not pruned. Amen? They are inseparable, fruitfulness and faithfulness. Now, God's created us to increase. He's created us to grow. When he created Adam and Eve, he created them to take care of, to tend, to take care of that garden, to be fruitful and increase. He created those things. God created that inside of us. So when we flatline in our relationship with God, we get uncomfortable. When we flatline in life, period, whether it be our job, our relationships, we get uncomfortable because God's created us to move forward. He's created us to grow. And God wants that in our lives, and that's how he made us. Fruitfulness, that a man who puts his trust in the Lord, the Bible says, is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Someone say in season. There will be some seasons that might not be as fruitful, but if you're planted in the right soil, there will be always something growing in your life. You may not be able to see it. You may not understand what's going on underneath that soil, but if you're planted where God wants you to be, something is happening. It takes 14 days for most seeds to germinate. Underneath the ground, something is happening. And our garden right now, because of the weather, the sun, the amazing weather that we're having, I have never seen our tomato plants go above the cages, except probably that happens like at the beginning of August. It's the beginning of July. I'm like, we are going to have tomatoes in a couple weeks. I am so excited. Because again, like strawberries, tomatoes are these plastic balls that they sell in a package at Winco that have no flavor. Something's happening. Something's happening in the garden of your life. Something's happening in the soil of your life. And if you know God and you trust God, you got to believe that he's doing something. You got to believe that he's stirring something up inside of you. The problem, though, with a lot of Americans is they want to be fruitful without being faithful. You guys out there? We want to be prosperous without being planted in the principles that produce prosperity. We want to produce without remaining. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 5. He continues on and says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, this has nothing to do with hell here, all right? This just has to do with your growth. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, guess what? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. But remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. 10 times God emphasizes the word remain. Do you think he wants to tell us something within these verses? 10 times. Remain, 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 stay. Don't doubt that God is doing something in your life even though you can't see it. Don't pull your roots up so quick thinking that the next best thing down the road is going to thrust you to where you need to be, when the whole while underneath the soil and the garden of your heart, God was doing something because of your faithfulness. Too many times we give up on God too quickly. Are you out there? Too quickly, and we don't understand what he's doing in the unseen. God has blessings for fruitfulness because of your faithfulness. Faithfulness and fruitfulness go together. Remaining as the father of your household, 30, 40, 50 years, fruitfulness. You got grandkids, you got great grandkids. Those are the families we love to celebrate, right? 50 years. Hallelujah. Wow. Those that have been in the same church for 27 years, faithful to go where God's asked them to go, where God directed them. Because I believe it's really not your choice. It's got to be, Lord, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to be planted? Lord, I can be a blessing to these people. These people can become my family. So many times people are looking for a church because they're consumers. You know, they're looking to see what we have for them, what's going to best suit them and their needs. And, you know, it's all good and fine to go to a few churches, but our prayer should not, our focus should not be what the church can give to me, but what God, I can be a blessing to that church if that's the church you want me to go to. Get planted in that house and be faithful. Get my roots down. 10 times, remain in him, stay connected. And that my words remain in you. He said, love each other as I have loved you. See, love, you know, this is a big controversy in our country today, because they say because we don't agree with them, we don't love them. If that's the case, then I don't love my wife many times because I don't agree with her. Or I don't love my kids. Since when does agreement precede love? Since when do you have to agree with them in order to love them? If that's the case, God wouldn't love us. God doesn't agree with us all the time. He doesn't agree with your decisions. He's trying to get us to do something different. See, love is based in obedience. Jesus said, if you will love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to show it through not just feelings, thank God for feelings, but even when the feelings aren't there, you're going to love me because you trust me. You're going to love me and you're going to show me that through your actions. Because love is not just a feeling, it's an action. It's something that we do. We talk about falling, I've fallen out of love. No, most of the time we've fallen out of action. If you look back at the things you did when you first got engaged and you first were married in those first few years and the things you used to do, remember the dates you used to plan and the flowers you used to buy and the secret things, secret trips you used to take your spouse on. You used to tell them, pack a bag, right? Pack a bag, we're going away. Well, where are we going? Well, I'm not telling you, we're just getting in the car and we're going to go. Remember those things? A lot of times what happens is most of the time we fall out of action. We're not falling out of love. All the things you used to do before you got to this point where you want a separation, start doing those things again. Start doing the things you used to do and fall back in love. Hallelujah. Every branch that bears no fruit is cut off, and every branch that does bear fruit is cut back. Now, here's what I want. I don't want to be cut off. I'd like to just be cut back. How about you? Because cut off hurts. Come on now. I would rather trim my toenails than to have one taken off. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? It's true. I know it's going to grow back, but it's going to hurt. I would rather be cut off because, cut back, sorry. Did I say cut off? You think to yourself, okay, God, I thought your love was unconditional. Well, it is. Jesus was not referring to his love to you because his love never stops chasing you. His love is a waterfall that keeps running. We're the ones who cut ourselves off from his love because we don't remain in it. And we don't remain and we don't stay where he wants us to stay. I believe the church is so serious that if you don't remain where God wants you to remain and stay where God wants you to stay and be planted in the house where God wants you, and you leave that house, you can destroy your life. You can destroy your family. You got to know that you know. If God's done with you here, you got to know that. You got a word from the Lord. Because if you leave out of offense, it's going to be serious repercussions. You got to know. And it's fine. But we're so glad for those who remain. Because if we don't remain, we'll feel cut off and we will wither. And it's frustrating when you feel unfruitful. See, we have no right to expect to be fruitful from seeds that we've never planted. We also have no right to feel disappointed with the aid that I didn't get from the book that I didn't open. Are you out there? It always amazes me. People have this perception of who God is, and they've never read the book. Do you know what's in the book? Do you know what it says? They've heard somebody talk about it. So they base their whole spiritual lives and their eternal security on what someone else has said instead of going there themselves and reading it for themselves. That is a dangerous position to be in. I don't want to be there. Don't trust what I say. Amen. I believe it's trustworthy, but you need to go look it up for yourself. You got to read it for yourself. Go read John chapter 15 for yourself. This is all in there. It'll help you. It'll bless you. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love cutting things back because I believe that if it was a cutback, it'll be a comeback. If it's a cutback, it'll be a comeback. If it's a cut off, ain't gonna come back. But a cutback is gonna be a comeback. And we've all driven past homes in the Northwest, more so here than where I grew up in the East Coast. We've all driven by homes where the home is abandoned and the forest has grown up around it and through it. I think I have a picture of one of them. You have a picture there, guys? Yes. This used to be a house. There's a house in there somewhere. Thanks. Can you imagine? How did that house get like that? That is complete neglect. That is unwillingness to prune. Overgrown. And, you know, there's some people in the Northwest, they were only living in that house a few years ago. Because here, things grow, you know, like weeds, literally. I mean, fir trees alone grow 5 feet a year in the Northwest in our rainy season. So can you imagine the neglect that took place in order for that house? Because at one time, that was a vibrant house. At one time, there were probably kids in there running and laughing and playing. At one time, there was a mama in there cooking some good grits. Can you say amen? And frying up some bacon. Hallelujah. At one time, there was some fried chicken going on in there. Amen. At one time, that house, the father was coming home in his car, and kids were running down the driveway and screaming, and they had horses, and they had chickens, and they had a farm going on. There was something vibrant, but somewhere along the line, something happened in that house. Maybe it was pride that got in there. Maybe it was the unwillingness to do what it takes to maintain the house. It's interesting, the homes that we live in and the way that we keep our homes do reflect where we're at spiritually. The way that we take care of natural things reflects spiritual things. Somebody said, oh God, I'm not inviting you over, Pastor. And we got 3 kids. Come on, we got good excuses, right? When you come, everything goes in the closet. After we take the vacuum out first, right? Quick, don't let them go look up there, and don't let them go upstairs, and don't let them look in our garage. And they'll walk in, it's a nice house, clean house. Yep, yep. Nice, clean. I love guests coming over because we actually clean, right? Not saying we don't all the time, but my wife, she'll get me for that one later. This is why we love HGTV. This is why it's so popular. Shows like Property Brothers or Flip or Flop or Income Property. We love it when we see these contractors take something. This basically is a demo, right? You demo this thing and bulldoze this thing. But they take something that is ugly and they make it into something beautiful. We love to watch the renovation of it. We love to watch when the new paint goes on. And then once it's all done, the new kitchen's in and everybody's got granite countertops and stainless steel appliances because those are the things these days. But we love it when they start to stage the house. They bring the furniture in and the pictures on the walls and the carpets and the curtains. And they stage that thing. And then when they reveal it to the owner, you know, you're hoping that owner just goes crazy. And they are too for good ratings, you know. Because, you know, white people will stand there like, oh, thank you so much. But I love watching the black people. That's my house! Did you see my house? Oh, I can't believe it! I'm like, please. That's how some of you guys worship in church here. Just the thought. The point is this. We love to see something that is neglected become beautiful and useful again and produce again and produce fruit. We love to see that. We love to see that in someone's life. I love it when someone gets saved and set free and gets filled with the Holy Spirit. They get healed. They get a job where they were out of work for years. Hallelujah. They some of the habits and addictions start to fall away in their life because they've made decisions. Why am I doing this? Things just begin to pop, begins to happen. Why? Because the new creature begins to take over. The new creature they've become on the inside. Hallelujah. The power of God comes to live inside. The love of God comes to live inside them. And that new creature just begins to shine from the inside out. Hallelujah. God's changing hearts. He's changing lives. He's changing patterns. He's changing lifestyles. You can see it in their eyes. Where there was no joy, now there's joy. Where there was no peace, now there's peace. Where there was no satisfaction, now there's satisfaction. That's what being born again is. Hallelujah. That's our mission to the world. Our mission is to see all people saved and set free. That's God's plan. That's God's heart. God wants to see people saved and going to heaven. That's why we exist as a church. That's why you're here to be part of that army. Your kids saw you live without God for years and you wonder why they won't come to church with you. Because they think you're a hypocrite. I want to bring you hope this morning. Yet, it may take a while. You want God to undo in a 45-minute sermon what you allowed for the past 45 years. This may take a while. You want to get free from addiction to whatever after decades. Guess what? It may take a while. It may take a while. Because of the patterns we have set, new patterns need to be created, but it's going to take a while. It'll also take faithfulness. God, I'm going to be faithful to your word, to your church, to renewal, to study. We say things like, God don't care about me. If he loved me, he would set me free. We cry out to God, God, why was I born this way? When the garden of your soul, your mind, and your will and emotions is neglected, the weeds of pride and insecurity will overtake the plants that are supposed to produce fruit. We went away for three nights with my wife and I, and we came back in our garden was literally overtaken by weeds in 3 days. It took our hours, along with Stephanie, pulling those weeds out. Little by little, the ground literally hardened that quickly in the sun and dried up. And you, when you pulled the weeds, you know how they break off? And you know you're going to be doing this 3 days from now because they're going to pop up again? It's the same way with the gardens of our heart. When we neglect our spiritual ground for even a short period of time. Just as hard as it is and difficult as it is to get back into physical shape when we've neglected ourselves physically, it's as hard spiritually to get back into spiritual shape when we neglect ourselves spiritually. Because the garden and the soil of our heart gets hard. And the weeds begin to grow. And will come and overtake everything that you've produced. In Christianity, you never just arrive. It is always an ongoing growth process. For the rest of your life, there's an enemy out there who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He has an unseen plan to provoke you and to put thoughts inside of your mind and the minds of your family and those around you to get you to stop growing spiritually, to get you to yield to the temptations of the past, even though you thought you were through with that and you thought you were delivered from that. You've got to continually go out there and take that hoe and take that rake and you've got to continually stir up that soil in order to keep it soft, so that those weeds aren't planted in there again as they fly in from somewhere else and get planted in there and start to grow up again. You've got to continually be weeding, continually be gardening, and continually be asking the Lord to prune you in your process in your life. The soil, if not agitated, becomes hard and filled with weeds. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37, we're almost done. And then we can have popsicles. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. Everybody say, a little while. A little while. You'll notice here in John chapter 15, it says, I am the vine, my father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Everyone say, while. It may take a while. It may take a while. You know, it's funny here. It says in Hebrews 10, for in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. I'm thinking, Paul wrote that a couple thousand years ago, talking about Jesus coming back. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like God's time and God's time plan. In a little while, he's not going to delay. God's definition of while. Now, dear friends, do not let this one thing escape your notice. It says that a single day is like 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years are like a single day. 1,000 years? I really believe we've got to take a stand and we've got to put our foot down and say, this is my season. This is my season. An opportunity of a lifetime, someone said, must be seized in the lifetime of an opportunity. Take parenting, for example. We only have a little while to be a parent, because after a while, we just become an advisor. Just a little while to input into our kids. Some of us are missing what we should be doing when we have the chance, because we have our mind on stuff that is not worth our while. Take Nehemiah, for example. Nehemiah had resources, he had time. King Artaxerxes set him out to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, right? There were enemies there that did not want the city to be united, the walls to be built. They tried to call him out. They wanted to have a meeting with him, mainly to distract him and take the leader away from the city. They wanted to waste his time. They wanted him to lose focus as far as what he needed to do. They wanted to meet in the plains of Ono. And Nehemiah said, oh no. He sent messengers. He didn't go himself. He sent messengers because it wasn't worth his while to go out there and meet with them. Because he said this, and I preached a whole sermon a few years. He said, I'm doing a great work and I'm not coming down. I'm doing a great work and I'm not coming down. Sure, I want to go out and I want to go fishing every weekend. I want to go skiing every weekend. I want to go do this, but I got children and they're in the formative years and I'm doing a great work and I'm not coming down. Hallelujah. I'm going to invest into their schooling. I'm going to invest into their education. I'm going to get my kids to church. Sure, I'd love to be with everybody at Lake Billy Chinook, but too bad Lake Billy Chinook has some kind of algae thing going on in the lake right now. You can't even touch the water without getting sick. Well, those people should be in church, because I'm doing a great work and I'm not coming down. Hallelujah. And that's our mentality in this season of life. This is what I've got to do. You know, I've got to pay now and I get to play later. But if all I do is play now, I'm going to pay later. Are you guys out there? And that is much more expensive paying later than paying now. I want to enjoy my family. I want to input into them now. Why should the work stop? Why should I come off that wall? I think so many times we spend so much time dealing with things that mean nothing to our future and God's destiny. We don't focus. We get stuck in what happened and we miss what is happening. It's over, folks. It happened, yes. But was it worth your while? Was it worth your while to hold on to the offense? Complaining about how you were raised. Resenting how you were raised. Let's get back to building. Anybody go down Stark, and right by Stark, as you're going from here, you go through Rockwood, and you get to 175th, right by where there used to be a nursery there. That's going to be a boys' club. And then there used to be Papa's Pizza. You guys know what I'm talking about? Right before that, on this side, there is an apartment building that's been sitting there for years, rotting. Anybody ever go look at that thing? As a builder, I go by and I think, they've already spent $3 million on that place because it's multiple units. It's been sitting there rotting. They've only sheeted the outside. There's no siding on it. And you know, when the wood weathers, it turns brown. So the whole place looks brown. I'm sure there's a lot of squatters and people living inside there. But I'm thinking to myself, they spent so much money and so much time, but they never counted the cost to finish the project. They wasted so much money. And I don't want to waste the season of my life. I don't want to work that hard to get to a certain point and not be faithful to do what God's asked me to do and miss out on the blessings. And many times that blessing is just right around the corner. If you just had held out a few more months, if you just held on for a few more years, your blessing was right around the corner. I want to let you know this morning, your blessing is right around the corner. Don't give up on God's timetable. Don't doubt that God isn't doing something in the soil of your heart, even though you don't sense it and you don't feel it, because he is. He is the one that can be trusted. He is the one that wants to prune you. You need to go home and you need to say, Lord, prune me today. And be careful when you pray that. Prune me today. Don't cut me off, Lord. I just need a trim today. Amen. Hallelujah. Time is short. Time feels like the clock is working against us. We are all in this battle against time. God wants you to be fruitful. Don't disconnect while he's cutting on you. Amen. Hallelujah. It may take decades. It may take years. It may take 4 years to see a dent happen in your debt. It may take a while, but stick with the plan. It may take decades to prove that you're ready to be rehabilitated. In order to gain that trust back, it may take a while. It may take years to prove to your wife you really love her after cheating on her. It may take a while. It may take a while, but it's going to be worth your while. Amen? Everybody say, prune me, Lord. Let's all stand up. Snip, snip. It's true. Sometimes you got to give up to go up. I just think it's time to really just take inventory of our lives and attitudes, things like that, that have held us back from growing spiritually, especially. I certainly don't know everything, and I've never pretended to know everything. May not be the greatest preacher or teacher in the world, but I do know the greatest God, and I know his Holy Spirit is in this house. He's the teacher. If I stood at the door on the way out and you told me what you got out of this sermon, every person would have a different perspective, a different thought, because the teacher is in the house. I want to encourage you to open yourself up in prayer this week. Read John chapter 15. Read it out loud. Try to read it every day. Start praying some of these prayers and say, God, I don't want to flatline spiritually. Not for my sake, not for my friend's sake, not for my wife's sake, not for my kid's sake especially. I know you forgive me. I know, Lord, I've done stupid things. But, Lord, I'm determined to remain faithful to be fruitful. Be faithful to my relationships, and be faithful to my kids, and be faithful to my church, and be faithful in my job, because you will be fruitful. God will promote you. Your boss will see your heart change, your attitude. Your life can change when your heart is pure and open and humble. And let God prune me. Cut off those things that aren't producing, Lord, so that those things that are producing get stronger. Help me to focus on the things you need me to focus on. I love you, Lord. And as a father and as a gardener, I trust you. I trust you. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you. Prune us, God. Let the dead fall off, God. Help us to focus, Lord, in this season of our lives. Wherever we may be at, Lord, whether it's retirees or whether you're older, you have grandkids to focus on, your kids, yourself, whether you're a single adult or a college student, help us to focus, Lord, on school, to earn our degree. Help us to focus on our job, Lord, that business that you've placed us in to be the light and the salt. Thank you, Lord, for pruning us. I love you. We say this morning we trust you as not only Father, but as gardener. Don't take too much at a time, God. I don't know if I can handle it. But Lord, little by little, I thank you. I know, Lord, some of the hard things in our lives that we've done, some of the sin that we've committed, we thank you for forgiving us. We know that it may take a while, but we're in it to win it, God. And we're willing to go through the process. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray this prayer together to receive Christ as your Savior if you've never done that. It's a simple prayer, the most profound prayer you'll ever pray in your life. Let's all say it together. Say, Jesus, thank you. As God's Son, you volunteered. You came to this earth from heaven. You lived here. You taught here and healed here. At the end of your life, you were beaten for me, hung on a cross for me, and died and went to hell for me. You didn't stay in hell. 3 days later, you rose again. And now you sit at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. I believe that, and I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I trust you. And I thank you, Father, for that life. And I thank you, Gardener, that you help me to grow fruitful and be faithful in what you've asked me to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know that. Just let us know. I'll be standing at the door here on the way out, and love to give you a Bible and New Testament and get you started on the road. One more thing and I'll let you go. It says that when you become born again, that your hard heart of stone is turned into a heart of flesh. So now, what used to be a hard, prideful, know-it-all against God becomes like clay. And it's our job to keep that heart pliable and moldable. It's our job to keep, like the soil of our gardens, to keep it soft and growable throughout our life on this earth. So he starts us off with something brand new. And it can get hard if we allow it. It's our job to keep it that way, soft, pliable, and open to his voice and open to his will and his thoughts and ideas. So that as you renew your thinking and your mind, you're able to prove that God's will works as you live on this earth in this culture. Because you can be an overcomer no matter what the laws say. Amen. You can fulfill God's will. And whatever it takes, we will do it together. Amen. We love you. Wednesday night youth. It's going to be a big party.